Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1682, air date April 17th, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Adre. Today's conversation is going to be on election integrity, but more importantly, what our movement is doing to ensure that we have election integrity. In fact, we have recently filed a lawsuit in Massachusetts to ensure that the government of Massachusetts doesn't violate the law. It's interesting, you have a law and governments violate the law. And so we're making sure that they don't violate the law. The law that we're talking about is 50 years ago, a majority of Democrats plus Republicans, but majority of Democrats passed a law called 52 USC 20701. And that basically said that you have to preserve data in connection with a federal election so audits could take place. Audits were seen as a good thing because people knew there could be election malfeasance. So for example, if you ran for office and your election was stolen, or you thought there was fraud, you have the opportunity to contest that election. And you could do that. And the way that could be enabled is to make sure that any data in connection with a federal election was preserved for 22 months. So that was instituted in 52 USC 20701, a federal law. So if you're in the United States, we have 50 states. For those of you outside of the United States, I live in the state of Massachusetts. Nicholas lives in the state of Tennessee. Marcelo lives in the state of Oregon. Marianne lives in the state of Arizona. You can see by people's nomenclature on the Zoom here. Suresh lives in the state of New York. And in all of these states, representatives run to the United States Congress. Certain number of U.S. House of Representatives and two senators. Those are considered federal elections. In 2020, I ran as a Republican in Massachusetts in the Republican primary, which took place on September 2020. And we had a dynamic campaign. We raised $2 million, which is unheard of by a Republican running for Senate. Typically, the Republican Party doesn't even bother to run because the Democrats always win the election. So they don't even bother to fight. But we raised $2 million, 3,000 volunteers, 25,000 lawn signs, 10,000 bumper stickers. You couldn't leave Massachusetts without seeing the brand Dr. Shiva. So even the Republican establishment guard admitted that we were going to win that primary on a landslide. Anyways, many of you know, because I've shared this repeatedly, on the night of that election, we won in only one county. Franklin County, where all the votes are hand counted with paper ballots, and we won by 10 points. In every other county, we lost by an interesting ratio, 60-40, 60-40, 60-40, in all the other eight counties, total of nine counties. So that led me to put on my engineering hat to understand how these machines work. You see, in Franklin County, everything's paper ballots. In all the other counties, they have voting machines that take a ballot, photograph it, and then AI is used to figure out what you voted on. Anyway, according to 52 USC 20701, all data in connection with a federal election is supposed to be preserved. So I had come to know about these ballot images. I wish I could find this video because after we quote unquote lost the election, myself and one of our volunteers literally went to the Secretary of State's office at 17 Ashburton Place in Boston. It's a brutalist looking type of building. And you go upstairs. And my volunteer had a camera and we're asking the Secretary of State, we'd like the ballot images. And the guy basically scoffs at us. And he says, oh, we didn't preserve those. We don't have to do those. We deleted them. Bunch of things he said. We have it on videotape. So we were there to file a Freedom of Information Act to ask for those images. Well, anyway, after he said that, I tweeted out on Twitter that Secretary of State of Massachusetts has deleted 1.7 million ballot images, not ballots, the images, which are supposed to be preserved by 52 USC 20701. And if you go search anywhere, you'll see I did many, many videos on this. For stating that on Twitter, I was kicked off of Twitter because this was considered election misinformation. And that led to a lawsuit in which we exposed the fact that the government of Massachusetts had contacted Twitter to deplatform me, which is one of the most historic lawsuits in U.S. history, which was, by the way, concealed by people like Tucker Carlson, aka Tucker Carlson, Glenn Greenwald, so-called journalists. Because what we had independently done, we had filed our own lawsuits. We weren't part of the left or the right by that point. And we had exposed the fact that the governments have backdoor portals into Twitter to silence U.S. citizens. And I was silenced because we had exposed that the government wasn't following the law. And the law is that you're supposed to preserve all information in connection with a federal election. Ballot images are part of that. Anyway, this time we are running for Senate as an independent. And we expect to win this election because we've created enormous brand equity. We have, by the way, anyone listening here can be part of this historic event, whether you're in Australia or whether you're in Nebraska, wherever you are, India, you can use this infrastructure we've set up to call into Massachusetts and get people to pledge to vote for us. Now, why do we call this a global movement, and why do we consider this something everyone can participate in? Well, the political reason is that Massachusetts is a state in the United States, but more importantly, Massachusetts is the center of the global swarm. The global elite's intellectual headquarters is in Massachusetts, and reflected by two universities, which are, you know, walking distance from each other, MIT and Harvard. One is the center of the military-industrial complex, MIT, and Harvard is the center of the global industrial complex of manipulation. You can trace every economic disaster to some idiot at Harvard, some professor. And the global elite send their children to go through that university to get trained. And that university is in Massachusetts. The people who emerge from that university are heads of state, presidents, governors, and so on, policymakers. So the notion of someone like us coming bottoms up, running a global movement to win this election, would be indeed a serious defeat for the swarm. So we're giving everyone the opportunity to participate in this global movement, in participating in winning this election. So part of the reason we're running is that by running, we are enabling all of you to participate in the tip of the spear of the movement, because we know that the goal is to build a movement. Running for office gives the opportunity to people at a moment in history to get galvanized. It does not mean elections by and themselves are complete. Without a movement to back up an election, you just have an election in which anyone can compromise very easily, or for that matter, filing lawsuits. But because we have a movement, the electioneering becomes a platform for more people hearing about our movement or even filing a lawsuit. It's a very, very important distinction. So we're not giving people illusions. So to the extent we run in elections like we did in 2020, because of that, we still won because we exposed the backdoor portal that the government has backdoor portals to social media companies. We exposed the fact that they delete ballot images. We exposed the fact that on these machines, you can flip votes. No one had done this before I ran. So when we run, we win. When we take action, we win with a movement. So before I go on to the lawsuit that our movement has filed, we didn't use lawyers. People in this movement did. I just want to share with you a couple of images that we put together to articulate what this movement really is. Is it a movement? Yes. Is it education? Yes. Is it a community? Yes. But none of those words really describe what we do. Truth, Freedom, Health is really an infrastructure. And you can plug in, as this woman is doing, into this infrastructure, into this wall. But behind that wall, you get connected to a nuclear power station of theory, you know, system science, community, people, and action. You know, we filed a lawsuit. Did we hire lawyers? No. We have our own law firm internally in our movement. Nicholas, Diane, Barb, a whole bunch of people helped. We filed the lawsuit. So this is not a movement of people thinking they're doing something by just exposing the truth, which, by the way, they steal from us and they never tell the truth at the right time. But our movement, you plug in. So we've made it easy. You can start free. We have all these courses, components of the community, like software. You're plugging in. So we made it that easy. And when you plug into this infrastructure, you recognize that all these other movements are always going to fail because they have no theory. They don't really have a community and they don't have any coordinated action. We have the science of systems, which is what the elites learn to manipulate you. But without that, understanding that, you will be manipulated. You will be distracted. You'll be chasing all these not so obvious establishment people. We have a community and we execute. And the path is simple. We want people to, just like free software, start up, learn the system, and then you can become a warrior scholar, and then you can become a leader. And we have features in that, but most importantly, it's the people. And you can go through the site, you can hear videos of different people. But if you use software like Adobe Photoshop, what are the results? Oh, you can create a poster, you can create a flyer, you can make stuff, but what are the results of this quote-unquote software? Or this infrastructure? Well, you can help stop vaccine mandates, which is what we did. You can help people get on the ballot, which is what we did. You can win federal lawsuits. So this infrastructure that you plug into allows you to get real results. No different than using Microsoft Word to create a technical report, a document. But here you use this infrastructure to change the world. And without this infrastructure, you're frankly lost. You lose a lot of time. But most importantly, what we want to recognize in describing it as infrastructure, we're not here to convince anyone. Everyone who comes to our movement in many ways is already there, but they haven't sort of congealed everything. What we do is we let people plug into this so they say, oh, from the science of systems, I see why this works. I see why Dr. Shiva calls Fucker Carlson, Fucker Carlson. I see why Booby Kennedy's a fucking boob. You see these people, not from a personality standpoint, but they're part of a system which is used to distract and manipulate people. You also recognize why you need a community, because you can't do this on your own. And then you recognize you need to take action. So in the case here, you know, the action that's been taken here is a filing of a lawsuit. We're not just barking at the wind. You know, we're not just cursing the darkness, we're lighting candles. Here is an actual action. This took a lot of fucking work. It's easy to create your podcast, but let someone put together a writ of mandamus. This is what Nicholas and the team here have done. Diane, a bunch of our leaders, they have learned the law, they put it together. Just like I learned the law, we've taught people that. And we'll teach anyone how to do this. But this lawsuit is historic because we filed it in the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts. And this lawsuit is the template for what every person in every state in the United States can do. What we're saying is that the governments, state governments, are violating the federal law. There's a law that says you have to preserve these ballot images. Why is this important? Because you see, these voting machines have the capability to weight races. So for example, Jeremy, if you ran for office and I ran for office, same election, let's say you got 1,000 votes and I got 1,000 votes. The machines, believe it or not, have a feature called the weighted race feature, where they can multiply Jeremy's votes by 2 and multiply my votes by 0.5. So I end up with 500 votes, Jeremy ends up with 2,000 votes. Okay? And I can explain during the Q&A why they developed this feature. It's pretty crazy. It's even on these voting machines. The important thing to understand is that in that case, there would be, instead of 2,000 votes, you'd end up with 2,500 votes, right? Because Jeremy would have got 2,000, me 500. That means there must exist 2,500 ballots. Thus, my request for the ballot images. You get it? So if you don't preserve the ballot images, which is what goes through the voting machines, then you can't quickly, I mean, you can get access to the paper ballots. It's a huge, long process. But if you preserve the ballot images, you can see the vote flipping. So, and again, it was our movement which publicized this broadly in 2020. So what we are filing in this lawsuit is something very simple. Hey, Secretary of State William Galvin. By the way, this guy Galvin is called the Prince of Darkness. He's been in government office for nearly 40 years. And what this petition says, it's called a writ of mandamus. A writ of mandamus says there's a law here and you better follow the law or it's going to be criminal violation. So we filed this lawsuit and it's in Massachusetts and I have standing. Standing means in order to file a lawsuit, you have to show harm was done to you or could be done to you. Well, I'm running for Senate and harm was done to us last time. And so that's in the factual allegation section here, where we talk about what took place in September 24th of 2020. We give the historical background, everything I've shared with you here. And we're saying that you have to follow the law. So the reason we're sharing this on video today here is to also educate people that everyone else in other parts of the United States should also file a similar writ of mandamus. Otherwise, you really have no fair elections, which is what I was a victim to in September of 2020. So this is why we say action. Tucker Carlson doesn't do any of this. He is making money by essentially doing messaging, acting as though he's anti-establishment, because that's a vogue that's an in thing to do now. When he was at CNN, it was in to be liberal. When he was Fox, it was in to be right wing. Just talk, talk, talk. No action. Complaining, but not leading. So ultimately, we are not looking to convince anyone, because anyone who truly comes to this movement is looking, as I mentioned, and they need this power. They need to plug into something. And this has been my life work in organizing these three components, no different than an engineer does. But that's what we've created. We've created an infrastructure for change, which demands theory, community, and action. So you're seeing an example of that. We took the science of systems. We understood how voting machines work. We organized our movement in Massachusetts, 3,000 volunteers. And when they stole our election, we didn't just complain. We filed lawsuits, which led to major historic wins. And now we're preemptively filing a lawsuit to defend the rights of all Americans. Who else is doing that right now? Who else? Nobody. And if they are doing glimpses of that, they're collecting tens of millions of dollars into some nonprofit and laundering the money to themselves. So this is the only movement that is providing infrastructure. Infrastructure, not just our physical technology infrastructure we have, but the meetings we host like this, an environment where people can come together. But this writ of mandamus that we filed is pretty historic because it is basically saying there are people who care. It is inspiring people to fight. And just because they cheat you, it doesn't mean you go hide under a rock. You keep moving forward. It'd be very easy to say, boo, hoo, hoo, they stole my election. We didn't. We ran again in 2024 for president. And now in 2026, we're running again as independents. So I hope this is inspiring for people, if you want, to get involved and recognize if you really want real change, you need an infrastructure for that. Fortunately, we've created that. So I hope you guys get involved. But again, get involved, because this is a movement of action, action, action. So independent of this, I want somebody to bring up the fact, maybe Andrew, in addition to this action, in the last 30 days, we also filed and we created a petition to get rid of Trump, 25th Amendment. The Democrats talked about it. Some elements of the Republicans talked about it, but who actually took action? Our movement. This took a lot of effort to organize this, put it together, build the site, and then we have people signing up. You see, what's fascinating is in 2020, when we ran the Fire Fauci petition, we had about 110,000 people sign up within 2 weeks. The level of shadow banning that they're doing to our movement, you know, in 2 weeks, we've had about 535 people. That would not be the case pre-2020, but that's what Elon Musk, Zuckerberg are doing, because they know we exist and they have to contain our movement. That's why the future, as I see, is offline. But in addition to this action, nonetheless, we did it. We didn't just talk. We also have filed four FOIAs, Freedom of Information Act, to demand all the notes, all the information of quote-unquote negotiations that took place between Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff, and the Iranian government be exposed, because the thesis was the negotiations broke down. Well, Iran claims that the negotiations were going well, and then the U.S. backstabbed them. So again, this is an action we're doing. This is what we did in Massachusetts with the ballot images, which exposed many, many things. So this deadline is actually over as of this Monday, today. So we're going to give them one chance, and then we're going to go sue Tulsi Gabbard, for example, because she's part of one of those agencies. So that's coming down the pipeline. Thanks. Let's go back to video. Point is, our movement does stuff, whether it be filing lawsuits, running for office, stopping vaccine mandates, stopping mask mandates, giving people tools to take care of their health, giving people tools to identify what is clean food, you know, giving people tools to figure out products work, what does, what doesn't, giving people tools to fight. So if you know people who actually want to do something in the world, invite them to join us. Any questions? Particularly, let's start with the issue of ballot images, election integrity. I mean, if you want to type election integrity, Dr. Shiva, you'll find probably 50, 60 videos. We've covered this issue quite broadly. Donald Trump has used a lot of our material, not to stop election fraud, but actually to talk about stopping it, raised a lot of money off of it. But let's take questions.
All right, guys, we're going to do a Q&A. Everyone, please put your question in the chat. Do not raise your hand. We will only be taking questions if they are sent in the chat. Please keep the questions to the topic that we discuss. Thank you.
While you guys are doing that, if you go to Shiva for Senate, as Nicholas said, we're looking, everyone here, all 47 of you, and people on social media can participate in helping us, we get elected for U.S. Senate. It's really easy. You go to Shiva for Senate, if someone can bring that up. There's a volunteer page. If you scroll down or on the right, you can volunteer. You sign up, you'll get a call from one of our people, and within minutes to less than an hour, you can get onboarded to start with the comfort of your living room, use your phone to make phone calls to get people to pledge for us. Instead of waiting at the last minute to quote unquote vote, we're already getting people to pledge to vote for us. And it's going extremely well. We have people all over the world calling into Massachusetts. So Jeremy, as Nicholas said, you can do this from your home. Anyone can do this. It's something tangible you can do. And it's cool because you have conversations with people. You learn how to articulate politics. You learn to understand what's on people's minds, and you're actually helping change something. Let's take some, I think that's some. Let's see here. It says these voting machines are used in India. They don't have such issues. Who monitors them here? Well, we don't know if they don't happen in India. The Indian Election Commission claims that they have the best electioneering in India. Now, one of the things they do in India, which is interesting, which is good, is they have voter IDs, and many things still are paper, believe it or not. So India is moving to machines, but we'll see what happens, you know? But the question is, who monitors the elections here? There's not really that much monitoring that takes place on elections. It's more self-monitoring here, Reggie. In other countries, they actually have people monitoring elections. Now, what can happen is volunteers can go, so people who want to vote for me can actually go into regional precincts and monitor elections. So that is allowed for volunteers to go in. Joanne Feaster says, would any of us be able to create a writ of mandamus to our individual states? And will that cover all election data or just one particular race? How many persons have signed the 25th Trump petition? So question one is, yes, anyone here can sign a writ of mandamus. Typically, you want to have someone with standing. Standing means that it's going to affect you. So if you live in that state, or you're running for office, I know, Joanne, you're in Arizona, it says. So in Arizona, you could file a writ of mandamus. Many people know that I was called into Arizona to testify where we showed some of this vote flipping in the Trump-Biden race. How many persons have? So we have about 520 people who've signed. But the amount of shadow banning is quite different than it was in 2020, Joanne. One of the things I want to mention is, why do they have, if I remember I said on these voting machines, they have a weighted race feature. Does anyone know why they would put a weighted race feature on a voting machine? Anyone have any idea on why? Well, I'll tell you why. Remember, voting machines are built by companies who create these voting machines. Voting machines are not only used in federal elections or state elections, they're also used in condo associations, condominium associations. Let's say we all lived in a condominium association, you know, about 50 of us, and you're going to vote on some issue in the condo association, like, hey, we want to clean the carpets, right? Well, that's a common area. So let's say everyone here has a 1,000 square foot apartment. Okay, but let's say there's two people here who have a 2,000 square foot apartment. Let's say Anna and Marianne. So if you on these condo associations, your vote was a function of the square footage of the apartment space you own, because you're, you know, you're paying typically more condo fees for that too. So in those cases, or in shareholder votes, if you're part of a shareholder group for a company and one person has 20,000 shares and everyone else has 10,000, they would typically get 2x votes to the others. It made sense in those conditions. So they had this weighted race feature. But on federal elections, on those machines, these weighted race features are still remaining, you know? Rajiv by the says, I don't see your tweets. Can you sue X like you did for Twitter? Yeah, I think we can sue Twitter again, but I think it should probably sue Elon Musk, you know, the so-called free speech absolutist who's full of shit. But anyway, these weighted race features are in those other areas like shareholder votes or condo association votes, but they're left in as a feature for federal elections. So that's why you could argue that those features can be turned on, right? And as we've talked about election integrity, it's a more of a process. It's not at just one point where the fraud takes place. The quote unquote fraud occurs, who you even give visibility to, who you shadow pan, who you let on the debate stage, who you let get on the ballot. And then finally, if you overcome all those hurdles, which we did, they have the ability to flip votes on the machines. So that's what's actually going on. But the good news is our movement exists. We keep moving forward. We keep taking action. And we filed another lawsuit to bring this out, and we don't let go. So we win regardless, even if they cheat us. All right. Anything else? Anyone on social media tonight? Okay, so in closing, get involved. If you made it this far, you know, become a warrior scholar. Connect with these communities. But we're giving people a huge opportunity wherever you are. The election in Massachusetts is not an election in Massachusetts. It's a global event. It's really, really cool with technology. Anyone, wherever you are, can get involved and make phone calls to have great conversations to convince people to be part of this movement. Someone else said, how will the structure use help us secure people's vote? I'm not sure. Marcelo, can you explain that sentence? How will the structure use?
Sorry, for the Sharash's structure that you built for us making phone calls at Massachusetts. Our database, the structure that we're using to call people in Massachusetts, as far as like, the structure that Suresh used for the telethon, like to make phone calls and keep a track of people that are doing early pledges and multiplying and all that stuff.
So are you asking a question or you're making a statement?
Asking the question as far as like, you know, that's just one more structure, you know, to help us fight this voting fraud bullshit.
Yeah, so I think you're making a statement, right?
Yeah, I guess, but also like I was wondering.
What's the question, Marcelo? Can you just
articulate? My question is, how will Sharash's structure that we are using to call people and to get their early pledges and to multiply, like, will that help, you know, us secure people's votes more this time around?
Well, I think the process, it's not really a structure, it's more of a strategy, right? The strategy we're doing is, it's more than just that. First of all, we have a movement. We're getting anyone in the world who wants to help. We've created an infrastructure where people can, with their phone at the comfort of their own living room, wherever they are, in a forest, use their phone to call into people in Massachusetts and get them to pledge. The election is in November. The genius of what we're doing is telling people to pledge now to vote. Number two, what people can do if we go to the, not only can people pledge to vote, but they themselves can get other people to pledge. And we've in many ways made it a way that the individual can become an activist overnight. So when you pledge on Shiva for Senate, you actually get your own dashboard and your own portal that you can go get your neighbors to pledge. and you can track that. So we're essentially enabling people to be activists in their neighborhoods with very, very simple tools, very, very, very simple ways to onboard. So that's what we're doing. Rajiv has another question here. He says, how can people help outside of mass just spread the Goliath versus David word? Basically, yeah, so Rajiv, I know you come to these orientations. I'm not sure if someone has onboarded you. Nicholas, Marianne, has anyone of you spoken to Rajiv? He's in California, or Noel. Rajiv, you should get involved because you seem very articulate. You can actually get involved in spreading the word directly to people inside Massachusetts. Also, because we have an election going here. But I'd get involved. Anyone else?
I don't see anyone on my end.
Firm in LA says, we all heard that the 2020. Not sure what that, I wish people would write in clear sentences.
Yeah, guys, can you please, if you're going to write a question in the chat to one of us, please really think about it and articulate it with succinct and clarity so we can answer your question. So please do that.
Oh, Firm in LA says, we all heard the 2020 presidential election was fair. Is this false? So that's a good question. I think the data that I shared, again, you can go look at it. Just type in Dr. Shiva election integrity 2020. I think the key thing to understand is elections are selections. And by that statement, I mean, who even gets on TV is where the fraud starts. So think about it this way. If it was truly a fair election, people would have equal TV time, which is called visibility. Because visibility is what leads to someone getting elected. If one person is hidden and another person gets the limelight all day, a dope could get elected, okay? And that's what happens. So who gets visibility is controlled by a few set of people. Election fraud begins there. Now, we overcame that because we had bottoms up 3,000 volunteers in 2020. We overcame that. And then the next thing is, can you get on the ballot? In order to get on the ballot, you have to collect petition signatures, about 20,000 of them. And typically, that requires a lot of money to do that. Again, because of our bottoms-up movement, we got on the ballot. Not only did we get visibility, we got on the ballot. Then they kept us off the debate stage illegally. Okay, nonetheless, we moved forward, and we were forced to contend with. So then what happened was, in our view, they flipped the votes, and we have data to show that. Now, in the case of a presidential election, it's pretty much decided based on which character can manipulate the masses better. They're going to select Tweedledee or Tweedledum. During 2008 to 2016, it was Barack Obama that they needed to manipulate people. There's a pretty good argument to be made from the data I've seen in 2016. Hillary Clinton actually did win the election against Donald Trump, but they needed Trump in there to manipulate people. They needed to go from a black guy to a white guy, you know, who could rile up the quote unquote working class base talking MAGA. That's why they needed Trump. Then they needed Biden back, and they needed Trump. So you have to understand that if you have the ability to manipulate media, who gets visibility, to manipulate who gets on a debate stage, and then also, you know, last minute capabilities to flip elections through the machines, you have incredible, robust, fine control, as well as gross control to decide who's going to come in. You know, and whoever's chosen as president, by and large, is done for their ability at a certain point in time, based on the zeitgeist of that period, to manipulate people. So Trump was necessary for them to manipulate people. And he's been of enormous value to Zionists and imperialists right now. And once he's run his course, they'll bring in the next character. So it would behoove someone to think that these elections are not selections. I mean, if you just think about it this way, and this is why, you know, we are moving more and more on social media as a movement to just share people's solutions, solutions, solutions. Because in many ways, they want all of us to be involved in their theater of distraction. And through that, they make a ton of money. But if you think about the elites as a few set of trillionaires, interconnected set of trillionaires and billionaires, the enormous wealth that they have, the last thing they want is to lose their wealth. And the only way to prevent that is to make sure the plebs, the slaves, are constantly distracted. And that's pretty much what is going on every microsecond on media, to distract you, to never see the real issue. So our movement infrastructure is the opposite, to find those people and to plug them in so they can actually be part of changing the world if they want to do it. So to your question, we all heard that the 2020 president election was fair. I mean, I think you can answer your own question, okay? Fair. I don't think that's a question. The issue is, who do they want to win an election to manipulate a certain period of history? That's what's really going on, you know? So Rajiv says, I have an Indian accent turns people off, so I refrain from calling people. It has to be international and I would be okay. So Rajiv, I think you need to get over your own biases. Just to let you know, we have people with thick Spanish accents in Chile. We have people with Finnish accents. We have people with Indian accents calling. So this is more of your own stuff that you need to get over. I'll give you an example. When we were collecting signatures here in Massachusetts to get on the ballot, we had an Indian gentleman. You know, he had a thick Indian accent. And, you know, he wasn't collecting any signatures. And he thought it was because he was Indian. Well, I was observing how he was approaching people, and he wasn't getting any signatures. And I pulled him aside. I said, what are you doing? I said, you're not looking people in the eye. You're not smiling. You're not waving to them. It was his own insecurity, thinking he wasn't going to get, it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Anyway, he became one of our most productive signature collectors, convincing people to sign. So it's not true. It's an excuse, but you'll probably be very, very productive if you got involved. Someone says, can you speak to the draft that's going to be legislated in December 2026? Thank you. Yeah, so people may not know, it's not a draft that's going to be legislated. Congress very quietly about 2 years ago passed a bill that you're automatically enrolled in the Selective Service when you hit 18. I don't know if people know this. You're automatically enrolled in the Selective Service, which means you could be called in for the draft. So this has already happened, and that was done about 2 years ago. So I think if you want me to speak to Iran, what's really going on is Trump is buying time. In the model that they're looking at, the goal here is to ensure that the Zionists and the US imperialists get total control of energy. That's what it's always been about. In 2013, Condoleezza Rice gave a very famous speech saying the US energy companies must control all of energy in the world. And it began with Russia to make sure that no one was dependent. Europe was no should not be dependent on Russian, you know, LNG, liquid natural gas, or Russian oil. And so the Ukraine war was started in order to affect that. The Iran war was started to ensure that people are independent on that region for oil. And if you notice, U.S. oil exports have gone up massively, first time in U.S. history. So this is really about ensuring the energy infrastructure of the U.S. oil companies becomes a mainstay for everyone. It's going to be a little bit difficult. China, for example, is dependent on outside oil, but then they have processes to make jet fuel. And in fact, China is withholding jet fuel right now. And people are arguing that in 6 weeks, Europe or UK will be out of jet fuel. So Trump has created a very sticky situation for US imperialism. And how it pans itself out can really risk the livelihood of a lot of everyday working people. The elites will be fine, but it's going to significantly affect working people all over the world. But part of this is to ensure stability, quote unquote, stability in that region for US imperialists, where China in this model is seen as the enemy. So to your question about the draft, it's something that Pete Hegseth has openly talked about bringing back. But I just want to let people know that automatically, if you're 18, you've already been enrolled into the Selective Service. A lot of people don't know about this. And I think they raised the draft age to 40 now, up to 40. All right, Nicholas. I don't know who's leading the meeting today. But thank you, everyone. But the homework assignment is get involved, volunteer, everyone can help. We need thousands of calls going out every month. If people contribute about 20 minutes a day, you can be part of that. But we have a huge opportunity to win, not just for me, but for all of us, for working people all over the world, a US Senate seat. So get involved. It's really, really easy to do. The infrastructure team of our movement has made it extraordinarily easy for anyone to get involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva. Thank you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities,
You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering: electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.